Welcome back, everyone, to the holiday edition of the Puckheads podcast, or the PHFHL podcast. I am your host, as always, Maddie, and with me, my co-host, as always, Ty. How you doing today, pal?
Doing awesome. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Glad to be here. I'm excited for this one. We're getting close to the holiday season, so let's get going.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm having some nice... Gonna have some nice downtime this year, so I'm really looking forward to that upcoming. For our loyal listeners, we will not have a show next week. As I mentioned, have some downtime. Ty and I are going to take some time to enjoy this season and take the opportunity to spend some time with our families and just, you know, relax. But we will be coming at you hot in the new year with some exciting stuff. So stay tuned. Keep your ears peeled. Keep your eyes peeled. Just keep yourself peeled, I guess. I don't know. That really took a turn I didn't want it to. Yeah.
Took a real banana turn there. Lots of peel talk.
Yeah. I guess it was really a peeling metaphor.
Love it.
Oof. All right. Well, with that terrible start out of the way, let's dive into some news. Probably the biggest news at the moment, because this is just coming in as a time of our recording, is the suspension for Brett Connolly's hit on Tanner Caro. Just came in. He's got 4 games. I don't think that they'll protest the suspension, but it is the Blackhawks. It wouldn't be the worst thing that they've done this year. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that later too. I saw the hit and my first watch through, it's clearly, Tanner gets creamed, and I think we speak for both of us when we say, I really hope that he gets better and that everything is okay in the long run. But my first look at it, I didn't think it looked that, I thought it was like, this is really unfortunate and it looks really gross, but it didn't look egregious and suspension worthy. And so I kind of like tucked it away. Then after the suspension came down today, I looked at it again and I looked at it a couple more times and I realized, oh yeah, he did have him, like he didn't stride in there, but he was aiming for him. He had him lined up and yeah, it took me a second to watch to realize that the puck really wasn't in play. It was careening off the board. So yeah, that was pretty nasty.
Yeah. I think what I'll say is Rick Bowness said it too. He coached Brett Connolly in Tampa and he's not a dirty player. And I think when you're watching the play and it's a, you know, it's a traditional, you know, D-man rings the puck around the boards, you know, either play it or let it go. That was a bit high to be played. And I think Brett Connolly had it in his head that he was going to take the man out. Right. So you feel for him, you feel for the kid because, you know, Joe Pavelski, if you saw his press conference after the game, it's tragic. There's a human aspect to this game. I feel like I say that a lot on this podcast. Hey, Tyler, shut up and talking. No, there's a human aspect to these individuals that, you know, are giving their lives for our entertainment. And when you see things like this, it's actually quite tragic and you wish them all the best. And I'm with Rick Bowness. I don't think Brett Connolly's a dirty player, but yeah, that was pretty blatant interference and suspension worthy.
Yeah. And I think that I feel with you that I don't think he, I mean, I don't know the guy. I haven't talked to the guy. I never met the guy, but if you look at it, it doesn't look like he's not headhunting. He's not like taking strides. He's gliding in. I think, like you said, he had an idea in his head about what he was going to do. And he didn't, he didn't have the chance to, or didn't reevaluate given how circumstances were a little bit different than maybe he had thought they were going to be. Something that I noted, and actually before I say that, first and foremost, don't ever shut up about the human side of the hockey. Honestly, I think that's why you and I are here. That's why we're doing this, is that if nothing else, we both appreciate that and want that to be something that is a bigger part of hockey. And I think that we're seeing more and more of that this year and more people speaking up about that, which I'm happy about. But that was it. After the hit, so often after these hits, you see it erupts into a scrum. And I'm grateful that that didn't happen. Yeah. You saw the teammates go over to check on Tanner and to look into him. After they loaded him up and they were taking him off, you can, if you watch, you see Brett actually skates over and kind of gives him a little tap. And then he immediately skates up. He's not arguing with the ref. He's not celebrating. He looks distraught. He skated right off the ice. I think that's kind of shows that it was never his intention to do anything like that. He was just trying to make a hockey play, and it was unfortunate that the result is what it is. I don't think that more games were needed, like I said, but hopefully Tanner is feeling better soon.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not upset with suspension. I was surprised it was four games. You never know with them, right? Like they sometimes miss it, or they too much or too little. So four was a bit for me, especially when I thought it was a hockey play and Brett isn't a dirty player. But you know what? It's what you live with, right? You have to make those decisions in a split second in the NHL, and Brett made the wrong one at the wrong time, and now he's living with that, right? So. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the four games for me, I don't so much have an issue with the four games, because I think when this stuff happens, it is as much about the act of what happened. And they always take injury into it. If he had popped right back up, that probably wouldn't have been a suspension at all. But when I look at that, and we talked about, we don't think it was intentional. It was really unfortunate, but it is unfortunate how the result. And then you look at Jason Spezza, that looks like, if you were trying to show intent in a seminar, I would use that clip of what he tried to hurt Pionk. And so to me, that's where I feel like you can't, like, at some point, and these are always, there's a lot of moving pieces, but at some point there needs to be some way of saying, like, when somebody looks like they went out of their way to try to hurt somebody, even if they didn't, that needs to be penalized pretty hard. But
yeah, when you're doing what Spezza did, which was actually headhunting, right? It should be held a little bit higher. I don't know if I want to get into the Spezza thing, because I think it's absolutely ridiculous how fans applauded that. And just a year ago, they were trying to kill Corey Perry. You know what I mean? Like, exact same team, mm-hmm. but it's just sometimes as fans we get caught up in this weird world where just because you cheer for that player doesn't, you know, means they don't do anything wrong, where Spezza clearly went out of his way, even though he doesn't have a history of it, to, you know, knee him in the head. And that clearly wasn't the case with the Brett Conley. It looked to me as a play off the boards, and the puck was high and Brett was already committed, where Spezza was clearly going for revenge. And he even said he even stated that, even though it got appealed back down to four games. So Spezza saved a little bit of money, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Paul Maurice resigning. I think everyone was shocked. After hearing, I'm not happy, I guess, but I don't have any negative emotions about it after the fact, because Paul Maurice, nothing's terrible going on in his life. No one's passing away. There's no scandal coming out. Paul just seemed to be able to identify that he isn't completely into it right now. His passion has waned. He doesn't feel it anymore. And he also feels that the team could use a change. And so I applaud that. I applaud the fact that he realized that the team needed more than he was able to give. And stepping aside, because there's a lot of people find themselves in situations like that every day and just keep going through with it until the issue is forced. So I don't know. It's sad to see him have to take that step away from something that, you know, he clearly has had a passion for his entire life. But I applaud him for recognizing that and acting in the best interest of himself and the team.
Yeah. You know, Paul Maurice is a hell of a coach. He basically took a Atlanta Thrashers team that moved to Winnipeg and turned them into like a contender every year. You know, like they really, you know, were stable. They knew what their identity was, and that starts all with coaching. I was shocked. I was actually absolutely floored. And I think there's, like you said, there's many things that go into this. I think with the landscape of the NHL right now and the times that we're in, I think that plays into it, right? I think, does he really want to go through that again, you know, like he did 2 years ago? The team isn't achieving this year. I know that he stated, and it was a badass interview. Like, it was awesome, right? Like, what a way to go out, you know? I'm a good coach, and, you know, he says all that stuff. I was like, hey, man, you just went up in my books. I think also the team isn't playing to the level that they should be playing. And I think Paul just kind of jumped out just before, you know, he was on the hot seat and the rumors were coming out, hey, we need a change or this and this.
Yeah.
But I applaud him. He knew what that team needed and what should be done. And I think there's even, like he said in his interview, there's more than just the hockey aspect of this. And not that he doesn't love Winnipeg and not that he doesn't love his job, but right now he's, you know, with the world that's going on, he's making his decision. He's living with it. And I applaud him. Good on him.
You know? You got to think too, there's so many people in his position where, you know, they might think that, you know, I signed a contract. I owe it to this team to try to get them through this. Even if they know in their heart they don't have it anymore, or they don't have that passion to drive them and to actually perform at the level that it's needed.
Yeah.
Which would, like you said, then there's going to be rumors. There's going to be the hot seat. Then it's going to become a distraction to the team. They avoid all of that. You know, it's a very clean break. It's such seems like such a mature, great thing to do. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty humble, eh?
It's
even though he says, like, he, you know, he floats his own boat a little bit in the interview, but like he's it's pretty humble to know that, hey man, there's people out there that actually do care about the team. There's people out there that, you know, if they know they're not into it, clearly he knew last summer, right? And he was like, they got revamped when everything opened back up and all that, he said in his interview. And good on him, because, you know, hopefully this team should be really good, you know, in the Central. And I hope they do. And I hope the new voice gets there and they have a good team. So good on you, Paul, you know, but I just want to ask this, how long is he out? Like, you can't have that free agent of a head coach. Like, what is he top five in the NHL coach?
Yeah.
Like, he's awesome. So, like, I don't know, how long is he out? A year, maybe?
I think I think he'll be out at least a full season after this, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But there's probably two or three opportunities that are going to come up, either that are already signed kind of up there right now, or will come up in this coming off season that are going to be real juicy.
Yeah. You
know, I'm thinking about, like, imagine what he could do with Florida, you know, like with those players. Yeah. And that team. But I think that, you know, if he's got this kind of honesty with himself, he probably, despite how good of an opportunity something like that might be or whatever might come his way, I feel like he'll probably give himself the time, at least a full season. And after next year or throughout the year, he feels that itch really bad, then maybe he'll jump back in, or he'll put the feelers out there and see what's going on. But yeah, you got to figure he'll probably take a full year away from the game to see where his head's at to this point.
Yeah, you got to think too. There's some intriguing teams, like you stated. Florida is huge, right? Yeah. Colorado, I know they just re-signed Bednar. But again, if he doesn't win it in the next 2 years, how hot is his seat? Detroit. Yeah. I think Detroit is a fascinating option because that team is up and coming. They're going to have tons of cap space. All their players are super young. They're just going into the start of the climb. They're not even at the climb, but they're just getting into the start of the climb. Blashill doesn't have that much longer. I think there's lots of intriguing teams. And yeah, I think he's out for at least a year. And then he's a hockey guy. Yeah. I think he's going to get back into it. He's hungry to coach some more. But take some time, be with your family. Enjoy the holidays, Paul. Yeah. And
Segueing to a coach who's just started his job recently.
Bruce, there it is.
Boudreaux. I mean, I got to say, I don't want to, I've been kicking Woodley's off. I don't want to go on and on and on. I want you to start us off, but I'm in Vancouver on the ground. I can't believe the tone change in Vancouver, the optimism about the Canucks hockey that I don't know if I've ever seen, even when they were Stanley Cup contenders, from Canucks fans. People are genuinely excited. Like, tell me about, you know, what are you seeing? Like, what outside, you know, you're coming from the outside in, but they're on fire. Brucey hey, B is killing it.
You know what? This guy's a good coach. And I think it's been I think people forget that, you know, it's the same with Daryl Sutter. He came in, changed the whole environment, the landscape, everything. Sometimes a new voice is what you need. Just what Paul said, right? Good on Bruce. Has that guy ever struggled getting his offensive players to produce? No, he's, you know, every team he's been on, his offensive players have exploded. So you're starting to see that Besser. You're starting to see Pettersson start to find his game. This team should be good. Do they make the playoffs? I don't know. They were in a pretty big hole. You know what I mean? Like, they were in a huge hole for a while there. But you know what? I definitely think they have an opportunity to do it. I think with Bruce at the helm, he's only got a 2-year contract, but man, it's just fun to see Vancouver in that market happy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because there's not a more toxic, like, I'd go Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver is the most toxic when things are going wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just is. So I'm happy, even though I'm a diehard Flames fan and I hate the Vancouver Canucks, I'm happy they're successful because the NHL is better when they are successful, especially for Canadian markets and like that, right? The rivalries get back up and all that. Good on it. Good on Bruce, you know? And I did find it funny when the owner clapped at the media, where a month ago they said, hey, make a change. And then they go, oh, you're making too many changes at once, you know, make up your mind kind of thing. Good on him. I'm happy for him. I know you probably have more on it than I do because you are in Vancouver. And like you said, the optimism is insane, but let's do it.
Yeah. I think, like you said, there are bad teams that are going to struggle every year that, you know, depending on, but Vancouver isn't a bad team. And I think that's one of those things that sucks. What we want to see good players play well. If they can't get over the hump, they can't get over the hump. That's another story. That's compelling. But to see a bunch of young, talented hockey players that looked like they were miserable up there. They didn't enjoy themselves. They weren't producing. It was tough. And now it looks like they're re-engaged and that new voice has got them excited and they're playing hockey that is just, it's fun to watch. It looks like it's fun to play. And like, I think it's better for the NHL. Will they make this season turn it around and become a contender? We'll have to see. But it's exciting right now. And like I said, there is genuine, palpable excitement in the Vancouver hockey environment that it is positive. You know, people are excited, people are happy, instead of just, you know, that angry, toxic environment we've seen in the past.
Yeah, you got to think here. So if Vancouver does make it, you're going to only have four teams have to make it out of the Central, and then four teams have to make it out of the Pacific. And are they going to catch Vegas? Hell no, right? Vegas is first place and they haven't even got Jack Eichel. You know what I mean? Like, that team's going to be, you know, unstoppable. Anaheim, I said on the last pod, I think Anaheim's legit. I think, is it good for them? No, because it kind of reminds me of the 15 Flames, where you're supposed to have this rebuilding team that all of a sudden overachieves and everything gets thrown through a loop, right? Like, are you rebuilding? Are you going for it? Like, what's your, you know, agenda here? Calgary, I think, makes the playoffs, and you can't sleep on Edmonton. So no, is Vancouver's path easy? Hell no, but make it entertaining at least. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they are. So they're one game behind 500. So let's do it.
Exciting time of year. I'm not going to say this is why we're taking next week off, but the World Juniors are back, baby. Oh man. I have so many fond memories of the World Juniors, so many fun, ridiculous things, you know, staying up all night or getting up at like 4 a.m. to watch hockey games with a group of people, like a house party at like 5 a.m. Everybody's drinking. Like, this is crazy. Just to watch a couple of young kids play the game.
Bunch of teenagers.
But yeah, it's so wild, but it's so exciting. I can't wait. any special memories for yourself that off the cuff? You know, we didn't play too much for this.
I think Boxing Day is the biggest thing, right? Like usually my family would all get around and we'd watch the World Juniors on Boxing Day. And a lot of the time it's the US, Canada, right? I just love World Junior hockey. I think it's some of the best hockey all year. Best on best, you know. I do think, I don't want to get into it too much, but I think you're starting to see political views in the World Juniors now. I don't know if you followed this at all, but Russia left a lot of big notable names and prospects off their off their list because they're not playing in Russia right now, which is kind of ridiculous. Like Yans Kuznetsov, and there was a couple other big ones, and it's kind of pathetic in that way. But you know what? They'll still be a good team. Connor Bernard, I'm excited to watch. Shane Wright, I'm excited to watch. And those United States jerseys that they released is what the Olympic jerseys should have been. I don't know if you've seen them, but I haven't seen them. Beautiful, like out of this world. So yeah, I'm excited. Let's bring it on. It's we're not gonna have much NHL action for a while here. So World Juniors all day, baby.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. I think I don't watch a lot of like up and coming players. I don't watch a lot of junior. I don't follow college at all. World Juniors is generally when I first get a look at a lot of these players, you know, traditionally, and it's when they make that impact on me. And so I look forward to it. I love it. I get excited about it. I don't know if this is a hot take, but I really feel like if Eberle doesn't have the World Junior history that he does have, we don't talk about him at all as a professional. He might still have a professional career.
That's a smoking take, man.
I'm not saying he wouldn't have a successful hockey career per se. But I think that if Jordan Eberle doesn't have that and he has the hockey career that he's had right now, I don't think I can keep his name on my tongue very often, you know? He's been decent. He's been okay. He's a professional hockey player who's made a good living. But I mean, when you think of Jordan Eberle, do you think of his Kraken highlights, his Oilers highlights, his Islanders highlights, or are you thinking about how he's playing at a god tier level at like 17, 18, 19 years old for Team Canada, doing things that just seem unbelievable, seems scripted almost, you know?
You think of Jordan Eberle and the first thing that comes to your mind is World Juniors, and rightfully so. Like, he's Captain Canada at the World Juniors right now. You know what I mean? Like, and he wasn't like he's. Those were some big time plays he's made. I don't agree with you. I think he's a hell of an NHL player, like a hell of an NHL player. I think he's just been kind of stuck with some pretty shitty franchises. You go Edmonton and then you go to the Islanders that, you know, no player there ever scores. Sorry, Islanders fans, just saying. And then now you're going to a freaking franchise team that is run by Francis, that he just dropped the whole ball. You know what I mean? So I feel a little bit for Eberle, but you know what? He's always going to be Canada's sweetheart when it comes to junior hockey.
Yeah. No, I'll always be a bit of a fan of his for his junior days. I think to say though that he's always been like on kind of like that one, like, you know, like that team, it's like, well, you know, you can forgive him for doing that on a team or if he gets traded to a second team. But, you know, like when your friend keeps dating the hot mess, it's like that guy's not having bad luck. That guy makes bad choices.
We're going to have this conversation right now. Hold on. I'm pulling up the goals right now. Okay. So it was, hold on. He's had 34 goals, 28, 24, 25, 20, 25, and in shortened years, 16 and 16. And on the terrible Seattle Kraken team that can't score, he's got 12. The guy can score. I'm just saying, like,
I guess he can.
Could we say above average NHLer?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I don't want to take it away from
top six winger, at least. I'll give him that.
Maybe we can have an Eberle episode. We'll plan for it. We'll make our case for it. Look, the guy has had a successful NHL career, and that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying, like,
you hate Jordan Eberle. I get
his
it.
Name, his name is etched in Hockey Canada history.
Yes.
But if it wasn't for his World Juniors, he would not be a household name.
Again,
he would be known in Edmonton. He'd be known, you know, in hockey circles.
Yeah.
But, you know, he would be, let's say, on the level of like an Alex Tuck.
Oh, the disrespect. Disrespect. Alex Tuck can't even stay healthy for a year, and you're putting him in that conversation.
Oh. Just like that, you know, like
if look at this. I'm fidgeting in my chair right now. I'm sweating. All right. We're going to have this one day. We're going to have this debate. No, I agree with you. I think, but you know what? To play the other side here, isn't that what these stages are meant for? You know, to make a name for yourself. Andrew Mangiapane did it last year. You know what I mean? Yeah. After the NHL season, made a huge name for him, put himself on the long list of Olympic, you know, hopefuls. I think that's what these stages are meant for. How many players go to the World Juniors and all of a sudden their stock goes through the freaking roof? You know what I mean? Neil Yakupov, all these players, right?
Neil Yakupov.
Another gem, hey? Another gem. Well, he somehow got
I'll say this.
First.
Eberle is clearly better than Yakupov.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I didn't want to have to convince you.
I'm not going to go full like Stephen A. Smith on you here and just try to drive this home.
Yeah.
So last little bit of news, and I don't even know if this is really news, but I gotta say, like, I'll tell our listeners, I wrote this down as old man Torts hates fun hockey. I get it. Tortorella, you like the game a certain way. But after Zegras made that amazing play to allow a goal for his team, for you to say that you would talk to a player after that, that's insane. That's straight up insane. That's saying that I don't want to win if it's not my own specific way, which I guess I'm glad you're not coaching in the NHL anymore, because you want to win in a boring way, or you don't want to play at all. Like, that's so twisted. That's so twisted. It's not what hockey needs.
I think I saw a funny tweet that was like, yeah, I don't want to watch a high skill level player pass a puck over the net and then hand eye hit it into the net. I'd rather watch 60 minutes of dump and chase. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even understand his take in the sense that how it's not good for the game. You know what I mean? Like, don't we want to see the highest skilled levels players make these plays? Is Torts saying it's because he's a rookie? And I think that's a big thing with the NHL too, is you have these coaches that, again, Torts is a good coach. He's won a lot of games. He's won Stanley Cup. He's done that stuff, but it's a different game now where younger players are making the NHL, and it's a younger demographic in the sense that these players aren't, you know, they don't want to just be yelled at and all this stuff. And you know what? That's how you destroy a young player's career. And I'm not saying that you can't be hard on a player. I'm saying that there's different ways. And so imagine Torts is the coach. Zegras pulls that off, and then Torts pulls him and says, hey, no more of that amazing play, and thanks for scoring. You know what I mean? Like, Sonny Milano, thank you for scoring. But like, let's just continue to dump and chase and forecheck.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. And you know what, if you are looking to hire a coach, I think Torts just like outed himself. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, don't hire that guy. He doesn't want you to have like your skill players to be skilled.
Well, and honestly, it kind of falls into line. It's like, he says that and it's like, oh, that's funny. That makes sense why he seems like he's chased away talented players.
That's
as a coach his whole career.
Yeah.
It is. And it's this false, like, binary decision where it's either you have fun and hockey looks good, or you win and you play it the right way. It's like, no, it is possible for it to be a high skilled, exciting, enjoyable game and be winning and playing together and being respectful of one another. You know, like, I think it's this weird idea tied to this idea of this concept of respecting the game and respecting each other, and that this old mentality where something like that, which is fancy, is somehow demeaning to the other team or to your opponent or disrespectful, which is crazy. I think one of the tweets that I saw about it was that, you know, NHL is pushing in a lot of their advertising to engage the younger audience, and this hockey is for everyone. And yet we're still putting up dinosaurs like this guy in between periods to talk about the game. It's just mixed messaging, you know?
Yeah. And I think Torts is very knowledgeable about the game, and I think some of his takes are awesome, but in the same sense is, okay, why did Panarin leave? Why did Duchesne leave? Why did freaking Pierre-Luc Dubois want to leave your team? Why did Vinny LeCavalier hate playing for you after a while? Why did Brad Richards, you know, like on and on. Yep. And why did Patrick Laine last year only have like 6 goals after scoring almost 30 and 35 and however many with the Winnipeg Jets? Maybe that's the reason, right? Everybody's like, well, Torts doesn't ever have high scoring teams, and he just wants to play Brandon Dubinsky all game. Well, maybe and Boone Jenner, maybe that's why, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's gotta be a little bit of truth to that. And you know what? Good on you, Trevor Zegras. Even though I think you're like, oh, I don't know about you, and I'm not trying to be a dick to any player. When I look at Trevor Zegras, he just looks like a dick. You know what I mean? Like, does he, like that jock at school that knew he was just better than, and I'm going through my Torts impression right now. He just looked like that. He just looks super smug. He knows he's the best, and he's going to be really good. And I don't know. It just rubs off on me.
And I think that we're at the point now where we can recognize and certain things, that we can have certain awareness about ourselves and about those around us and expect that same awareness from them themselves. I think that it's fair to say that most people would agree with this, that hockey players generally tend to seem like,
yeah, it's true.
You know, oh, I'm going to have to bleep that out. Hockey players tend to look like jerks, seem like jerks. You know, I think we all have those impressions of them at some point. Now, with saying that, a lot of them do lots of great charity work. A lot of things. It's just the face. It's all of us having a bad experience as teenagers with one jock that can be transferred to every different sport or different activity you're in. We know that they're not. Yeah, maybe he's not a jerk. We know that they're not all jerks. But
yeah,
it's that, you know, we all have that natural inclination, and we're probably going to get some hate for that.
I think he broke my heart when he didn't even know Grogu's name off of the Mandalorian, and he was wearing them. Like, the Star Wars fan in me died a little bit. I was like, oh, if you're going to wear it and own it, at least say the name right, you know. But that's okay.
Yeah. Oh man. We're gonna burn the bridges there, but what can you say? We're passionate.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Oh man. I think that's enough news. Let's get into our power rankings. Now, to those of you listening, we are looking at making this kind of a regular thing. Full disclosure, I'm not gonna do any callbacks to my previous rankings. They're all dead to me. New rankings, new me sort of thing. But Ty and I are going to give our top 10 right now. This is right now. We haven't shared our top 10 with each other. We're going to learn along with you how bad the taste of our compatriots here are. So we'll start with 10. We'll try to work through this relatively quickly, so we're not here all day, all night for you guys. But Ty, why don't you start us off? Who do you have in your 10th slot as the 10th best team in the NHL right now?
Yeah, I think 10, 9, and 8 were my toughest for me. I think there's a couple here, and I almost went Pittsburgh here. I went the Vegas Golden Knights. I know they're sitting atop of the division right now. I get that. They've also got, you know, they're second the most games played in that division. Calgary's got a few in hand. Well, they're going to have a lot in hand, but they got a few right now. So they keep banking points. I think this team is going to be top 3 by the end of the year. They had a really rough start. Actually, it wasn't even a rough start. They were so depleted with injuries, non-COVID related, that, you know, they played undermanned for a lot of the start of the year, and they still have a winning record, which is highly impressive. A lot of that's on the back of Robin Leonard. Huge fan of Robin Leonard. Keep doing what you're doing, buddy. So I have the Vegas Golden Knights at 20-11 and 0 right now on my 10th spot. How about you?
Yeah, I I can't disagree with that stuff. I have Colorado in at my number 10 spot. I think I agree with you in that these bottom ones were actually really tough. I feel like there were a lot of teams that you could justify given different things. And I'm going to spoil it right now. My St. Louis Blues did not crack my top 10. I really tried hard to shoehorn them in, and this was the spot. But Colorado has been really solid their last 10. They've played fewer games than anybody not the New York Islanders, and they look really good. They've scored the most goals in the league. Yeah, I think that, you know, they're a little bit further down in the ranks. Like if you're looking at like just straight points or win percentage, but yeah, I felt weird not putting them in there, and I think number 10 is where I have them.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm gonna break your heart when you find out where I have Colorado. But yeah, I'm not there. They deserve to be in the top 10. I will tell you that. Let's go. Yeah, I kind of. We're gonna have a good debate about that one.
I like this.
Number 9. I'm gonna go right. You know, I'm wearing their hat. I got a huge, you know, man cave behind me. I got the Calgary Flames. I think, you know what, to have points in, what is it, 21 of your 28 games is highly impressive, even if some of them are loser points. That means you're in every game. I almost put Vegas ahead of Calgary. You know, it made sense to me, but you know what, a little bit of hometown bias here. Calgary Flames, I have at number 9 with 15 wins, seven losses, and 6 OT losses.
I love that, especially after I gave my I let our listeners know that I didn't let my personal bias get in the way. We just followed up with Calgary's in there. Calgary's a heck of a team. I'm not trying to throw any real shade on them because they're a heck of a team and they're playing really well.
Yeah,
they were in the mix, but they didn't make my top 10. I think there's a lot of good teams in there, but my number 9 was Nashville, and I didn't like. These were one of the teams because, like I said, I was trying to find a way to shoehorn the Blues in there, and Nashville was a team that I didn't want to put in. But when every time I compared them statistically to the Blues, I couldn't find an edge that seemed fair. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They only have one overtime loss, so all their points are actual wins and not crappy. And spoiler alert, you're going to hear this from me a couple of times in years. Overtime loss points, I hate them, but and I factor them in here in terms of tiebreakers. But so I had them in at 9. They're on fire right now. I've talked some crap about Nashville this year, but I got to start paying attention to them, and I got to give them respect. They're number 9 for me.
Yeah, I love Nashville. I think, hey, that's awesome. Matt Duchene revenge season. Here we go, baby. Right. Like, I love it. I think Nashville is a completely middle team compared to, like, you know, a solid franchise like the Calgary Flames, where I have slotted at 9. I think they're ranked 15th in goals per game, which is pretty average, and 10th against goals against. I think UC Saros is a beast. He stands 6 feet, but he's a giant. I think he's a, you know, it was good for Pecorine to retire, and the shoe, like the net totally went right to UC, and he's ran with it after, you know, second half of last season. I'm not upset with where you have Nashville. I think they're a solid team, and they've been playing out of their minds lately. Yeah, I really enjoy it. Let's start with you on number 8 this time.
Number 8 is one that for me, that I think if it wasn't for the early season, they wouldn't have made my top 10 at all. But I got Florida in at number 8, riding on their early season success. These guys are 4-5-1 in their last 10 games. When you compare them to the other teams, especially the top 5, where I think my last ranking, just to call back to it, I think we had them at number 1 or number 2, and they were on fire at that time. Their record still holds up for the most part, but yeah, they're struggling. They're at least compared to the other top teams, and they're riding their early season success. So every time I kind of started to compare them there, they dropped a little bit more. And I just felt like they're all the teams above them, I needed to give them the respect for how well they're playing now. You know, this is the power ranking after all. Florida can turn it around, but yeah. And I think you'll see this with me, and there might be some notable misses or teams that missed this list. But what about you? What do you have here, number eight?
I have, man, I try to get these guys higher because I'm an absolute fan of this team this year, and I picked them to win their division, which was so dumb, but I'm an absolute fan. I have the New York Rangers with 19 wins, 7 losses, and 3 overtime losses. I think they're a fun mm-hmm. team. I think they're a young team. I think they did really well with Shesterkin out, you know, who was basically their backbone for the first half of this early season. I'm loving what they're doing. And they still have some huge prospects that clearly aren't living up to their name. I think they're just going to find another step and keep rolling here. And also, like, man, Panarin, he's a beast. Zibs has been quiet. And really, if you get that offense to start going the way that it should be going, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And my pick looks pretty good. If you can't see, because you didn't, I didn't post this video. I was just dusting off my shoulders because
that was the.
I'm
the,
so solid with that audio. Pick.
A little audio breakup. That was a very awkward dust the shoulder off. moving on very quickly from that. Number 7. This is where I have the Vegas Golden Knights. These guys are on fire right now. These guys haven't lost in overtime. So again, genuine wins, genuine points have actually earned them. There's no pity points there for these guys. They're on fire. They're doing it undermanned. I think I got them at number 7. I think that they're a team on the rise too. It's crazy that they're this successful, this undermanned. And I don't have mentioned it 8-2 in the last 10. So for me, number 7 on the list, they're crazy. I wouldn't want to face them right now.
No, Kelly McCrimmon and the savage ownership and GM president there have built a hell of a team, and they're going to keep rising. I like I said at the start, these bottom teams are tough because you could have had any of those teams in any of those slots. But I have the Washington Capitals, and and you're not going to love this because like the Calgary Flames, they have not had points in only 5 of their games. Means they're in the battle every single night. And how can you not love what Alex Ovechkin is doing with 2 young goaltenders that Seattle still let, you know, how did Seattle let that guy go when, you know, you got Grubauer back there? But yeah, I have the Washington Capitals at number 7.
Wow. Okay. I'm processing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're definitely in there. Wow.
I think they have the least amount of losses out of any of my top 10. Not counting overtime losses. Sorry. Just regular time losses, which is 5, which is impressive.
Yeah. We'll talk. That might come up later. You know, that might come up later. Number 6, I've got your New York Rangers. It pained me to put them here. It pained me because I knew I'd have to tell you, of all people, anybody else. I can't talk to anybody else and tell, and I would say nice things about the Rangers, but it really hurts to have to admit to you. The Rangers are playing really well. They're doing great. The reason that I don't have them higher is because their goal differential is so bad.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, they've got the points. They've got the winning percentage. They're having a lot. They're having a lot of success. So, yeah, I don't know what to say. They're number 6 on my power rankings.
That's a solid pick. I actually appreciate that one. Makes me feel way better about my preseason picks. Matt's coming around, everybody. He's coming around. My number 6 is my favorite team actually to watch right now. I am fully on this bandwagon. They roll 4 lines. They got, you know, that beauty netminder Cam Talbot in the back. The best team in the Central. Sorry, Blues fans. Actually, 2nd best. Sorry. Just right now, they're the best, but 2nd best. Just like Colorado's still better. The Minnesota Wild, 19-8-2. This team is electric. Whoever, you know, told Ryan Hartman how to put, like, taught him how to play hockey again. Thank you. The guy's a stud. Marcus Foligno is just doing what Big Brother Nick did for years. And Brodin has found an offensive touch that nobody expected. So I'm really enjoying the Minnesota Wild. Every game's electric. I think the last game with that, well, not the last game. They've had a few postpones this week. The last really enjoyable game was the Toronto Minnesota game, and they're playing in the Outdoor Classic if it even happens this year. But yeah, Minnesota Wild all the way, baby, at number six.
All right, give me your number five.
Okay, I'll give you my number five. Kind of like your Florida. I have the Carolina Hurricanes right here. Wow. I just think.
Wow.
Yeah, I think my top four are going to surprise you a bit, but I have Carolina here. I have them 21-7-1. I think they've been playing okay hockey. I don't think they've been playing the best hockey they've been playing. At the start, they were like one of the longest undefeated teams. They lost a few in a row there. You know, they're missing their stud D-man, Tony DeAngelo, right now. But yeah, I have Carolina at number five.
I'm not going to get into it right now because it's going to come up later.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to say, wow. And I got something. I was my number five. I want to get to quickly because I, again, wasn't happy about where I had to place these guys. And now I'm just bewildered because I have your Minnesota Wild ranked higher than you do. I have them in at number five. And I think for the most part, for me, the top four for me made sense. Mm-hmm. And then there was a struggle behind that, but outside the top four, I looked it over and I was like, Minnesota Wild are right there. They've got a better goal differential than the Rangers. They play fewer games. They've been solid in their last 10. So they're playing good hockey right now, which is, I valued quite a lot in this. I'm just confused that I have them higher than you, and I'm quite frankly uncomfortable with it. So we're going to move on quickly. We're going to move on quickly to my number four team, whom I actually saw ranked higher in some other online rankings that I read. And I am shocked at how low you had them. I have the Washington Capitals. And I think they're playing great hockey right now. They're very successful with their wins and awesome. But I have them down at four. Mm-hmm. They're not above that because they have the most overtime pity points in the league.
Yeah. I get
your point that they're in more games. But John Tortorella was in a lot of games too, and it doesn't mean that they were good playing good or exciting hockey. I think, and maybe we can have a conversation about this down the road at some point. I just really feel like when the NHL brought in the overtime loss point, they really should have made it a 3-point total so that a regulation win is three, overtime win would be two. I think that right now it makes everybody, the same. It employs people to try to play for that overtime point. And you see right now, they're really high up there in the rankings in terms of, overall points and win percentage, but they have fewer wins than all the other teams that are as high as them. They're just getting by with those losses points. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think like you, well, I think the reason I have Calgary and I have Washington in my bottom half of the top 10 is because of the overtime losses, right? I appreciate what they did. I appreciate how, they're getting points in games, but like you, like they're still losses. So that's why I think I have them in a different spot than you. And this is where I think we just swapped. Where did you have Florida?
I had them at eight.
Okay. So I have Florida at four, which is almost, completely different where you have Washington. I think Florida's going through a skid right now, right? I don't think you can like Carolina. I don't think you can continue that pace you were at the start of the year, right? Every team's going to hit that bump. Barkov's still not playing and they're still getting wins. They didn't have Bennett for a while, but Bobrovsky was out for a little bit. They were just destined to have a little bit of a skid. That again, this team is going to be a threat all year. You know what I mean? Like they are, they're just going to keep coming. I think, even with Joel Quenneville being ousted as the head coach, rightfully so, this team is still well coached. I think they're deep at every slot, right? You got Bennett, Reinhardt, Huberdeau, underrated Huberdeau, Barkov, solid defense. And Bobrovsky is also, like Matt Duchene, having a totally revenge season. So I have the Florida Panthers at 18-7-4 as my number four lock team.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think, yeah, I dropped them down a little bit because I thought right now, I'm thinking right now, but yeah, they're still, they could, they really feels like they could turn it right around and
be back at the top. Like a week, so. They could be back 1-2 that easily. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, I think a lot of this whole power ranking thing was just me having a bad time. At number three, I've got the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, they're killing it. What can I say? I don't want to say much more than that. They're playing really well. Everybody's like, they're one of the healthier teams in the league, if I'm not mistaken. And it's working. And again, things that I'm not happy saying, but Morgan Rielly is having a heck of a year.
It's his girlfriend.
And I know that everyone else is like, yeah, duh. But, you know, if you haven't listened to every episode, I'm not the biggest Morgan Rielly fan. I don't think he's that great. But he's playing pretty well. The team's playing pretty well. I think if right now they would be, I think he's an easy cup contender right now.
So it hurts me to say this too. And you'll hear my Toronto take in a little bit. I am not going to disagree with you on anything you just said about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Brian, Dave, and Chris, if you listen to this, I was wrong. And I am sorry. they're firing. And they should be firing. Like, this is the team that should be firing. You know what I mean? Like, we've been waiting for this. You know what I mean? They did it last year in the Canadian division. Oh, big whoops. Half the team sucked. You know what I mean? Like, that was an awesome. You're out and you're proving your point right now. So I'm going to give the Tampa Bay, Toronto Maple Leafs will be later on, but I have at 3 Tampa Bay Lightning, 19-6-4, and undermanned Tampa Bay Lightning as well. Kind of like Florida. They have some key pieces out. This team is just too good. It's not fair in a cap world, but again, they drafted most of these players. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is how a team is supposed to be built, similar to Toronto, other than John Tavares at. This is, you're supposed to draft and develop your own players. And good on the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're going to be a threat for years. They have a young goaltender. They have Braden Point. They have Steven Stamkos. They have Victor Hedman. They traded Jiren for Sergachev, which is a steal now. You would never do that deal again. And they're sitting rightfully at number 3 on my power ranking list.
Yeah. What's your number 2?
I'm going to give you my number 2 right now, Matt. Toronto.
Good.
And it kills me.
I was a little worried. I was a little worried you were going to say, because you said we knew they were coming up.
Yeah. No, Toronto. Toronto, I try to put them 4 or 5. I tried because the inner hatred. Yeah. You know, Jay Fresh just put out a poll. Oh, and rightfully so. It was by a mile. Everybody hates the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's true. Like, it was funny. Mark Spector tweeted a funny thing about, like, Toronto had 2 COVID cases and all of a sudden it's serious, which totally happened. Like, even Sportsnet on my phone popped up, like, Toronto Maple Leafs games, like, suspended. I didn't hear that for any other games, right? But you can't ignore what this team is doing, and what this team is doing is winning, and what this team is doing is winning well. And they have an amazing goaltender that should be getting paid a lot of money, rightfully. Like, there's not a nicer person in this NHL, you know.
You're talking about Mrazek, right?
Freaking, who thought that contract was good? Freaking idiot Dubas. But
of course, you're talking about future friend of the show, Soup.
Yeah, Jack Campbell. Good on you, man. You're playing unbelievable. And your team is rightfully at the top where they should be with all that potential and stardom and everything. Toronto Maple Leafs are number 2. Who do you have, Matt?
Yeah, well, I've blown enough smoke up the Toronto Maple Leafs, but for one day, for my uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
We did a little swap there. I have Tampa Bay at 2. You have them at 3. You know, so I think that makes sense. Those guys are also, like you said it perfectly. They're undermanned. They're still dominating the league. It's almost not fair, but then again, they're doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. They're doing it the way that you would want any franchise to do it, where they're drafting, they're developing, and then they're making savvy moves to fill in the blanks. And it's amazing. How are we going to stop these guys? It looks like they're going to do it again where they're going to have a great regular season minus some of their best players. And then they're coming to come into the playoffs and be like, oh yeah, by the way, do you mind if I bring in one of the best players in hockey fresh? Is that cool?
Let's just bring in the best right winger in hockey. And he's had like, you know, he's played maybe max 30 games the last 2 years. So whatever, not a big deal.
I want to give my number one first because I think it's a little bit, I don't think it's contentious, but you rank them lower. And I'd like to hear about, I'd like to really talk about this. And I get the attention. I think that your number one pick is going to need a lot more discussion. I have the Carolina Hurricanes in at number one because they're also number one in total wins. They're number one in win percentage and they're number one in goal differential. So I thought I'd throw them a bone and also rank them number one on my list when you are the best team in the league at most of the important ways we judge it. I thought, you know what? They're good enough to be at the top of my list too. Who am I to tell all those facts they're wrong and put them down at the bottom? But hey, what can I say?
I think, and my number one team's, I think, a little bit off the board considering where you had them. I think Carolina, Florida, Tampa, Toronto could be swapped in any of those spots, right?
Yeah.
I really do. I think all those, there's six really good teams or five really good teams and then everybody else, a bunch of average teams and then the bottom feeders, Buffalo. So that's how I see it. Right. I'm not even upset with where you have them. I think Don Waddell has done an amazing job. Like look at the moves. He let Dougie Hamilton, your favorite defenseman, go to New Jersey for $9 million. And he brought in cheap Tony DeAngelo, you know, who loves, everybody loves him. And he's playing
that's probably the most positive thing anyone said to describe Tony DeAngelo in the last 2 or 3 years. So
it's true though. The guy,
yeah,
you know what? It's like a Bill Belichick playbook right there. Let's take a guy that everybody hates, give him a chance, you know, don't let him talk to the media, limit who he's around. Don't give him the outs that he usually has. And let's put this guy back where he should be. You know what I mean? Like a player and not worry about the off ice stuff. And it's a savvy move. What is he getting $1 million right now? He's playing just as good as Dougie Hamilton. So really, what did they lose?
Yeah. And not just that, the fact that he's
owning it.
Like he's just going to work, doing his job, and that we're not hearing anything else. So he seems to at least have accepted this role that I'm just going to go in, do my job.
Yeah.
Just be
the good player you are. The only hiccup on Don Waddell's, you know, beautiful work he's done is the Kotkaniemi one. Just because, and I get it, he's going to have a lower, you know, salary next contract, but you know, right now that's, and really it doesn't really matter, but I think during the trade deadline where you're going to be adding players and, you know, really go bolster yourself for a run, I think that contract hurts you a little bit.
Yeah.
Other than that, I am not upset with Carolina at one.
I thought you were going to bring up the goaltending. And I was ready to say, like, to let...
I love what he did with the goaltending. Yeah,
but, well, I mean, you were a little sour. We were all a little bit surprised they let Ned go.
Oh, but Ned, think, sorry. Yeah, Ned.
But I think when you've got a chance to bring in the type of caliber goaltender like a Freddie Anderson, like I think any team, you could put Freddie Anderson on a bad team and you've got a competitive team right there. Like I think he's great. I think he's a fantastic goaltender and I think he'd be crazy to let him go for nothing.
Yeah, so I think the Ned thing was weird. I think Ned's going to be a future stud in this NHL. Right now he's playing in Detroit, who right now is outperforming what anybody thought. It's funny to see Frederick Anderson, and this is just, you know, goes back to the same thing. That room has got to be solid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you brought in a goaltender that has been, you know, the scapegoat in Toronto for what, how many years? seven. It, every year it's his fault. And now he's playing like this right now. So whatever they're doing is doing really well. No, I think Don Waddell bringing in Frederik Andersen. Yeah, you're right. I did say something about Ned because it didn't make any sense how you can have a Calder goaltender, then you just go and overpay for, you know, Frederik Andersen. I think he's done well. Good on him. And I'm happy Frederik Andersen has, you know, proven all, you know, the fans. I'm so sick of hearing how it was his fault. It wasn't his fault. Yeah. So good on him and good on the Carolina Hurricanes. But enough about that. No, let's talk about the true number one. The number one team scoring at a clip like never before seen in this modern NHL is the Colorado Avalanche. They have terrible goaltending right now, too. And they're still playing this way. I have the Colorado Avalanche, who have not played that many games, who were injured the whole first half of the year, didn't have MacKinnon for a month. I'm going Colorado Avalanche 17-8-2. They're averaging 4.2 goals per game. That is insane. Kadri has all of a sudden found this you know, scoring touch that only Toronto fans wish he had when he played there, and not the suspension touch. So good on the Colorado Avalanche. I know you had him at 10. I disagree.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're looking at like power rankings and you're looking at like ranking teams, their goals for is great. It's not that far ahead of anybody else. What are they? 4 goals ahead of Vegas, 7 ahead of Minnesota. You know, let's see. They're only 9 ahead of my St. Louis Blues. So, yeah, I don't think that they're the best team in the league. They're my top 10. They're a great squad. And you made a great point that their goaltending has been suspect. A weak spot for them. Yeah. And I'm excited. I am excited that, you know, was it like 10 years ago now when Kadri said that he's always thought that him and Johnny T were kind of like, you know, the same neck and neck player, both superstars. He made that comparison. A lot of people were very happy with that. I mean, looks like maybe he was right after all, because he's playing pretty well. But yeah, I think that's a little bit wild, but that's, you know, hey, we're having fun with it. If you think the Colorado is up there, they're in my top 10. Like I said, we talked about that, how, you know, a lot of these teams be slid around. I think it has to be touched on as well that this has been a season unlike any other. There's what's going on right now, the amount of man games every team, like loss that every team has experienced, is pretty wild.
Yeah.
And I'm mostly just relieved, because as soon as I realized and I started to see who you had spoken about and who you had ranked, I thought you were going to have Edmonton number one.
And I was like,
please don't do that to us.
No, I was pretty high on the Edmonton Oilers bandwagon. Our last power rankings, I'm pretty sure. I think I had them 2 or 3. They were pretty high.
I think I did too.
I think, you did too. I think this last skid they had actually showed, like, so Florida's had a skid, Carolina's had a skid, Colorado had a lot of injuries at the start of the year, Vegas had a lot of injuries, and all those teams relatively still didn't show holes. Edmonton is a top-heavy team, kind of like what Toronto was a few years ago. They added Hyman and they overpaid for him. Goaltending still suspect. It still is. It's super suspect. You still don't know what that defense is. And, you know, there's their bottom six just isn't bottom six. And Jesse Puljujärvi isn't the same Jesse Puljujärvi as he was at the start of the year. And I think everybody saw that coming, right? I had Edmonton actually probably 14, probably 13. There's a couple other teams I had higher than them too. I think Pittsburgh is the one team that I had on the outskirts that should have been in. And other than that, I think relatively, did we have all the same teams? I think we did.
I think all there was.
Oh, Calgary. One person. I had Calgary. Yeah. That's the only Calgary. One.
And because I don't think you had Nashville in your top 10.
No, right? And you know, I had Calgary, you had Nashville. So other than that, we both didn't have Edmonton. So good on us.
Yeah. I was looking at it especially when I got near the bottom, because that's when I was able to actually start seeing them show up on a lot of the things that I was looking at. I was like, oh wow, they've really fallen back there. And I thought about it for a moment, because I, you know, they're still they still have two of the best players in the world playing there. But yeah, like they're just not there. They're not, they need those guys to be playing above and beyond everybody else. And they really need the rest of their team to figure it out. So yeah, they really weren't that close for me. Like you, I think I had them probably really three or four spots out. As I said, I wanted to fit St. Louis in there, and Anaheim probably could have gotten in there because they've played pretty well, but both of them, like I said, I was really heavily weighing recency and, you know, what I'll call true wins. And both of those teams are kind of like doing okay, but not really playing that hot right now. And they've got a lot of overtime, or not a lot of, but more overtime losses than the guys above them. Pittsburgh, yeah, for me, I think probably falls in that 12, 13-ish range if I had to. Like they were kind of in the mix late for one of the later ones. But then when I started to compare them to the Colorado, to Nashville, Anaheim, St. Louis, Edmonton, I just thought they're not there for me. I love the season they're having. I love what they've been able to do without Malkin, still not back.
I know.
Crosby missed most of the year. I think I had them pegged for basement, and they're just playing so well.
Yeah,
so.
I think Tristan Jarry is getting zero Vezina love, especially after his playoffs that he put out last year, where, you know, you could score on him glove high every shot. I think he's had a hell of a year. Like a hell of a year, and good on him. You know, when you get roasted and ousted and destroyed on social media, and, you know, the pressure's all of a sudden on you to perform, and you come back out this season, you do that. Good on Tristan Jarry and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think, like last year, I didn't expect much of them, an aging team with a core that old, and they still are proving in this modern age that good players and depth make a huge difference, and they keep winning. So good on them.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that's our power rankings. We'll post these probably to our Twitter page. Twitter page. Who am I? We'll put it on Twitter later on. So you guys can yell at us, tell us why we're wrong. The last thing we want to do with you guys is we want to talk about a little segment. It is the holiday season. So, you know, we got the creative juices flowing, and we came up with goal and coal. We want to take a chance to talk about one thing that we want to shine a light on, that we're grateful for, that we really appreciate, which would be the goal, and then one coal, one thing that we're pretty disappointed in, that we want to kind of focus in on. So Ty, why don't you kick us off with your goal?
My goal is for the first half of the season, and up until now, my goal is I'm happy that fans of the NHL have been able to experience hockey in an arena. Went through a little bit of a little pause there, you know, rightfully so, with everything that's going on, where, you know, we didn't get that energy in the rink and all that stuff. And I'm happy for the people and the fans paying the money and loving this sport and wanting to grow this sport, that are actually able to go and enjoy a game safely and the right way. So I'm happy for that. And I'm happy. I'm just happy hockey's back. It's back to the level it should be. Right now, we're going through a little tough time. And you know what? In the end of the day, who cares? It's like, it's all going to be smoothed out. It's all going to work out. There's things that are happening the right way. And so that's my goal for the year.
Nice. I like that. I really like that. That's great stuff. I think it's a great overall high level. I zoomed right in. I really am grateful for Robin Leonard. Honestly, and it really came up again this weekend. I think he had a bit of a showing, kind of again bringing to light the amount of fans and people that are saying just awful things to him on Twitter over hockey. Like the people that don't know him that are just taking a chance to say something awful to another person just for the sake of it, as if, you know, for what are they doing this for? But he brought that to light. He pointed out that the NHL doesn't do anything about it, and it's ridiculous that they don't. But that's the negative side of it. What I want to point out is that he's so open about it, and he's really continuing to push that. They are in, we're recording this on Sunday, they're they played the Islanders today, and he made a point again to reiterate how much he loves Long Island and how he thinks that they kind of saved his life there. If I'm not mistaken, he has a tattoo on
his neck. It's Long Island, yeah.
And so I think that that's what's so great is that this is somebody that I think a lot of people want to kind of put him in and pigeonhole him as either like, well, they say awful things like crazy or he's a complainer or he's negative, but it's no, this is a man who is being open about his struggles and who is trying to bring all these things up into the light. And this is an opportunity again where he chose to show love and to bring that love to the forefront. And so he's, you know, you can't peg him like that. You can't just put him in that one lane. He's doing a lot, and I'm really, really grateful that he continues to do so much and that he gets that opportunity. So
yeah, I love Robin Leonard. I love that he wears his heart on his sleeve. He tells you what's bullshit and what's not bullshit. He tells you exactly what's on his mind, and he's open with what's going on with in his life. And you know what? For all the fans that go at him and or they don't like that, and they, you know what? The NHL has a personality problem where players don't want to open up and be themselves. And maybe that's the reason why, right? Maybe you need to stop holding these guys to a different standard than you are, especially when they're at the end of the day going through the same things you're going through, just at a different level. And thank you, Robin Leonard, for, you know what, holding the people accountable for and yourself for everything that goes on in your life. So I agree. I love that. I think that's awesome. Yeah. I absolutely think that's awesome.
And that leads into my goal for this segment. The thing that I'm the most disappointed in that I want to talk about and bring up is Jordan Binnington, who is, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist. I've got no education in that manner, but I mean, this guy seems like he needs to kind of take a cue from Robin and be introspective and look for help. Honestly, I don't want to say it. Super, super amazing year that he had when we went on the cup run, and the things that he seemed to have overcome. You know, he was supposed to be a minor league goalie for his career, and he overcame all that through his play, through his presumably hard work and dedication. But right now, he's kind of a circus act out there, and maybe it was one thing that you can get away with that if the team's relying on you, but the Blues just went through a stretch where he was hurt, and they have some great talent behind him, some young guys, Charlie Lindgren, Lehuso, that you know, it didn't look like the team was missing his play and his winning. And today, a friend of mine made comment about some ridiculousness that Binnington did on the ice, where he basically, I made a joke. He was just like, where he's like, oh, he threw his helmet off. And I was like, oh yeah, like, I think I just made a joke about, you know, we need that. He's got to do to win. But then I actually went back and watched the clip, and he threw an immature temper tantrum on the ice. The guy made contact with him. Yes, it really wasn't severe contact. And he was outside of his crease by a fair, like he was well outside of the crease when the player bumped into him. The player bumped into him like seemingly accidentally. There was no headshot, which I think I remember them referencing that, oh, he took a bump. No, there was no contact to his head. There was no contact to his stick or the stick side of his body. Jordan just threw his stick away, basically let it go. It floated away. Then because they wouldn't stop the play so he'd get his stick, he took his helmet off and tossed it. And that was like, you know, the Ryan O'Reilly and Berube were trying to plead the case. In the moment, you got to do that. But somebody needs to pull him in the side. I hope somebody that in the locker room can see that and understand that and realize that somebody needs to talk to this guy. This guy needs to talk to somebody and get this cleaned up, because this is ridiculous. This type of behavior is like approaching Sean Avery level of ridiculousness, where you're now taken away from the hockey and you're not going to be able to play well enough to outplay your antics. You got to clean it up, and it's not funny anymore. It's not entertaining. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Jordan Binnington is like the Tim Thomas of our generation, you know, where, you know what I mean? Like, there's the line, and then somehow it's always crossed. It's always crossed, you know, he did the Kadri swing of the stick at his head earlier this year. I don't have a lot of time for Jordan Binnington. I think he's a marvelous talent. I think he's, when he's on his game, he's a hell of a goalie. Altogether, he's an average goalie. And, you know what? People get tired of the antics and people get tired of the, you know, the stupid plays and all that stuff. And
it
catches up to you, right? And Charlie Lindgren has played unbelievable right now behind, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I wish him the best. I think there's a lot of people that don't like Jordan Binnington for the exact opposite reasons why people love Robin Leonard. There's a proper there's a proper outlet to do it, and acting like a spoiled 5-year-old child that totally has entitlement issues seems to be Jordan Binnington's cause. My goal for this year is super selfish, and I could go the Chicago Blackhawks route, which I feel like we've talked about endlessly. I could go the Evander Kane way. I feel like those are a little bit easy pickings, and I feel like as a society and as a fan of this NHL, I feel like it is a bit old, and not the sense that it should be old, in the sense that it just keeps being handled weirdly. Mine is pure selfish, is that we will not have NHL players at the Olympics this year. Just in the sense that I really wanted that. It's been quite a while. I remember the last Olympics, I was living in Calgary. Where was it? Sochi. And that's the last time NHL players were there. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night, watch the games. Best on best is always amazing. So it sucks for the players. It gives us one, you know, we'll probably never see Crosby and McDavid together, but it's all because of, you know, everybody's safety, and it has to happen that way. And the NHL is a business, and just how things work.
Yeah, no, and I feel you there too, because like I said, it sucks. There's, you know, you recognize as well that there's bigger things going on, and it's not the worst thing going on there, but it really is disappointing because, you know, we do want to see that. We talked about it a little bit before we started recording, and we don't get that enough in hockey to see that true best on best. There's not a proper format for it. The All-Star games are rarely worthwhile in terms of the actual games ever themselves. Yeah, it's just not it. And the Olympics are that opportunity. You know, outside of anything else, it's an opportunity to finally see that true best on best, and to see players playing together in weird ways and with weird combinations you haven't seen otherwise. And it's really exciting. And so it is unfortunate that it does look like that. I think we didn't touch on that, but yeah, the word is leaking out there that they will not be going to the Olympics. So totally understand. I think, you know, to tie it in with Robin Leonard there, he made that comment a little while back that he wouldn't be going. And I think that makes perfect sense. And that's the decision that every player has to make for themselves. It does look like that to a certain extent is being taken out of their hands, but that probably makes a lot of them relieved, because I think there's a lot of players that would go because they feel like they have to.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, it still would be a great experience for them. But you know, you'd be putting themselves in a potential dangerous situation, it seems, or at the very least a very uncomfortable and strange
situation. Yeah, I think Pietrangelo and who was already named to the roster, and Connor McDavid said it nicely, that they have families, they have young children, not Connor, but that, you know, they have lives, and to be stuck somewhere for a crazy amount of time is not appealing to anybody. For in any profession, even I'm sure the athletes going to the Olympics, who I don't think are getting talked about enough, that's not appealing to them either. You know what I mean? It's not just NHL players. So it's 100% selfish. At the end of the day, is it really going to affect the world? No, but selfishly for entertainment purposes only, that's my goal of the year.
Yeah, fair enough, man. I think a lot of people are in that same boat. I think a lot of people that would listen to us and a lot of people that watch hockey in general feel the same way. And I'm sure a lot of people maybe even feel a little uncomfortable with voicing it like that, because like you said, there's a lot of other terrible things going on.
Yeah.
And people don't want to be seen, you know, being upset about something like that. But I think it's important to voice that as well. So
good idea. It is what it is.
That brings us to the end of our pod, the last, probably, maybe, who knows, probably the last one of the year. Man, it's hard to think about that we've been doing this for as many episodes as we have.
But, yeah. I want to just say a couple closing things here. I've enjoyed this ride with you in this first few months that we've been doing this. We both kind of started like, just got brought up in a group chat that, like, hey, we should do a podcast. And there was two people that kind of went for it. And that was you and I. And it's been a hell of a ride. And I wouldn't want to have it any other, driver than you. So I appreciate all the hard work you do. I'm loving this podcast. I'm hoping people and fans that listen to this podcast are loving it as well. Even the students that comment on it weekly after they listen to it, I appreciate you for listening to this. And let's keep it going. We're just going to keep getting better. We have big news coming the start of the new year. So I've really enjoyed it, Maddie. So thank you.
Well said, dude. Yeah, I'm loving it. I think it's, like you said, I think that this started as something, and it's grown in a way that I don't think I really expected, but I'm really enjoying. And yeah, guys, we're going to have, we've teased the idea that there's things coming, and we're not going to necessarily share them right now. So I guess it's still a tease, but we can tell you that in the new year, we're going to be launching a new name and probably some other new exciting things, some new commitments to you guys, the listeners. Hopefully that you'll stay with us on this ride that, I've been enjoying the hell out of. I'm going to leave that curse in there.
Yeah.
Censors be darned.
I love it. Let's do it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's been awesome. And it's been so much more than I think I ever would have expected or dreamed. And I can't wait for the next part of it. We're not going anywhere, Garrett gang, but exciting stuff. Ty, thank you, man. Thank you for a wonderful journey so far. And I can't wait.
Let's do it.
So Ty, myself, to all of our listeners, happy holidays. Stay safe. Hug your loved ones. Maybe catch you in the new year. All right. Stay awesome. Tuned. We'll be right back.